This episode of Rock Under Fire is brought to you by the man in the chicken mask.
Episode 21 of Rock Under Fire. Yeah. Mike DiRico here with Pat Ivanitsky and Stick Nixon.
What up? Yeah, you are.
What up? What up?
What's up? Here we are, boys, with apparently not much to say tonight. For the first time, we're kind of hurting for a topic. We did appeal to our listeners.
Yes,
is this the wrong thing to say?
No, man.
You're right on.
It's just a horrible truth.
Yes.
Now,
The funny thing is that
we really aren't hurting for topics. I made it clear to our audience that we are booked all through the summer with shows, and we just happen to have our April 23rd show open, so we kind of gave it to the crowd and said, you know, hey, give us a topic. And
I see.
We couldn't come up with anything.
We've got so plenty of things.
You know what we're
going to
talk about? We're just going to like go through the list and just talk about everything.
Okay.
Good stuff.
Throw some stuff at the wall and see what sticks.
What are we going to call this episode? We have to come up with a name for this. Is this like another audience participation episode that we have to come up with a title for?
Viewers like
that
you.
Later. Viewer's choice.
What's King Stephen King calls constant readers? Stephen King's calls his readers constant. So we'll call you guys constant listeners.
Yes, heavy constant. Users.
Heavy users. I like that even better.
Oh man! So what's happened? Who's died? Who died this week?
Jesus.
Jay Giles died this week. Sadly, another big one. Major bummer.
Yeah. A lot of people. It's funny because I expected this. But when it started happening, it just became annoying. It's just like no.
I already know.
You have to put out a post.
Yeah, so
like everybody started thinking it was Peter Wolf.
Yeah.
People don't know that Jay Giles is the guitar player in the Jay Giles Band. They don't realize.
A lot of people don't know that. A lot of people don't.
It was
know
funny
that.
Because somebody sarcastically said on our Facebook page, "I know who he is." Yeah. And I just kind of chuckled. I was like, "Yeah, okay, you're part of the minority there. You're not one of the
Who said that?
I don't know who it was. It was just somebody who just kind of blurted it out.
Think she really did, or was she just...
Nah, I think they did.
Yeah. Regrettably, I was thinking, I got to thinking that, you know, a while back we did that episode where we talked about our picks for most underrated bands, and
yeah.
I don't think I gave a shout out to the Jay Giles Band. You know,
did Jay Giles Band not come up that
night?
I don't think they did.
I don't think any of us picked them.
They could definitely fall into that category.
Peter Wolf, as far as a front man goes.
Yeah, he's
totally underrated.
Apparently, he lived a crazy life.
That live version of Must Have Got Lost, man. I love that song. Was it Reputa? Reputa the Buddha? It kills me every time, man.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a shame, man. We're losing him. Hey, you know what? Somebody told me, though, off air... I mean, you know, we're older. We're getting old. So our rock icons are only moving in that direction as well. I mean,
it's not getting any better.
No, the one certainty in life is death.
Man, oh man. Hey, man, as long as Dylan and Keith and Mick are still hanging in there and a few other big ones, I don't know. There's going to be some devastation coming, man. We're going to be devastated by some of the rock star losses that are looming, guys, in the next, realistically, probably 5 to 7 years.
Yeah.
We're going to take some hits.
The next
man.
Decade.
Some of our
definitely.
Boys are going to go.
Big heavy, girls. The heavy hitters.
The heavy
you're
hitters,
right.
Man.
Not
go.
That we haven't lost heavy hitters already.
Right.
I mean, Bowie and Barry.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
alone.
God.
Prince. Hey, that was the other
deal
thing.
Deal with some shit. I
one
think
year,
if some of these guys dying, I actually get a little weepy sometimes. I'm like, no, man, I got to back away from thinking about like Bruce dying or something. That
we also celebrated the 1 year anniversary of Prince's death. That just happened. I shouldn't
bummer.
Say celebrated, but we didn't
have a cake?
Celebrate it.
Did you bring the cake?
I did. Prince's dead cake. It's got purple flowers wilting.
How much changed in a year? It is just incredible. I remember my old man was alive, man, talking about my old man.
Yeah.
Freaking Prince, what the hell, man? I went into, like a lot of people, a mini Prince obsession for like a month or two after his death. I did nothing but listen to him and watch videos.
Yeah. I was down in Texas. I just got back from Texas. When did I get back? Yesterday. This is Sunday. We're recording on Sunday evening. I was in Texas for a week, man, and I just had a good time. There's a lot of good food in Texas. I was in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Unfortunately, I didn't get to go to like any. I was with my daughter. It was a vacation, so I didn't get to go like do any crazy music stuff. But my cousin did turn me on to a guy, Nathaniel Ratliff. I looked it up on iTunes. Got two records out. Some good stuff.
He's Harry Potter, right?
No, that's Daniel Ratcliffe. But check it out.
Past Harry Potter would be good.
Yeah, pulling double duty.
Did you hear that, folks? That's a reference to a new artist that collectively the Rock Under Fire crew is into.
So I heard some of it, and it
don't
rocks.
Say we're only about the old stuff.
Yeah. I liked it a lot.
Shouldn't say that because we don't play that. I don't know about you guys, man, but you know, I know you got you were there with me, Mike and Pat. You were too. When it was the early '80s, you were obsessed with MTV.
Oh yeah,
I know you guys were like me. It guided your shit, you know, and. One early video that we all love, no doubt, was Love Stinks, Centerfold. You know, we love those videos. We love those songs. That's where Jay Giles began for me and millions of other people.
That's where their
popularity exploded. You don't realize that they were together as a blues band a whole decade before. And I have to confess, I'm still not that familiar with that era material from Jay Giles, what they were doing in like 75, 76.
You know, that video for Centerfold, too. That was probably, if you think about it, I mean, aside from Madonna, that was a really risque video for that time. I mean, you know, now it would be looked at as nothing.
Yeah.
You know, but then, I mean, you had women walking around in a classroom and, you know, just what were they implying? We were teenage boys. I knew what they were implying.
Hell yeah.
I wanted to be in that video. And, you know, the drum with the milk, you know, every time that, you hit the drum head and the milk popped up and stuff. It was just, it was very risque. Mm-hmm.
Also for its time, and I think was actually part of that and part of the template for what became the early 80s was Physical, Olivia Newton-John, and everything about that song and just all of the trends and just like the audio trends of the 80s and just the whole sound and look of the early 80s came out of that video.
No, I agree. I was glued to the TV. If I heard that down, I was running through the house.
Oh,
the video's on.
We bought the records. We spun them a lot. I know I did. You know, just those two, Love Stinks and Freeze Frame. After that, you know, I know you had a couple of Giles records.
Right? Like you said, I wasn't very schooled at the time on the early Jay Giles. My introduction to the Jay Giles band was the Love Stinks album. And my 10th birthday. I still remember my 10th birthday party. You know, and going to Farrell's Ice Cream and getting, you know, my Mattel electronic baseball, Cheap Trick at Budokan, and Jay Giles' band Love Stinks on vinyl.
Nice.
And going home and listening to those albums and playing my electronic baseball with my friend Dave Nolan, who lives down south. Now,
every time you hit a home run, I remember that game. Bleeps and blips. That's what we come from.
I remember I had no idea what to do with it. It was just like this handheld thing. And there were two of us. We were like, well, how are we both going to play? So we put it down on a table, and he pressed one button, and I pressed the other button.
Primitive shit.
Yeah.
That game
good
was
times.
Crazy. Me
good
and my
times.
Brother got into fist fights over that freaking.
But that's
game.
What I associate. Oh, yeah, that's what I associate it. The Jay Giles band with, as far as like my earliest memory. And my uncle had the 8-track, and I just heard it in the backseat of his car, and it's like, I want that. That's a great album to have.
And, yeah, Stick and I are cut from the same mold when it comes to Jay Giles, because that's exactly how I remember Jay Giles.
Yeah. Now there's stuff from the '70s.
Yeah.
Sounds, I don't know, vaguely Southside Johnny-ish, man. I don't know. I haven't heard too much of it, you know.
Party rock, right?
Maybe.
There's some of the stuff, you know, that
I can't
outside
say,
of what I knew.
What do I know from that era? Not too much.
It's you know, it is a shame, too, that the band's named after the guy, and everybody thinks he's Peter Wolf.
Yeah.
Not everybody. I mean, we know that our listeners are pretty savvy. We know that. We get that.
Hey, watch any of the videos, and if you don't know any better, you will think that Peter Wolf is Jay Giles. It's forgivable if you don't.
Yeah.
Some of my very favorite songs ever in the world, I mean, my entire life comes from those two albums, those two big, you know, the two big albums that they put out in the early 80s, man.
There's a Rage in the Cage.
Rage in the Cage and No Anchovies, Please.
Yeah.
Try Not to Think About It.
Yep.
Just Can't Wait. Desire. Great songs.
Bing,
all good
bing,
stuff.
Bing. Yeah.
So, you know, I have a quick question for you guys. Do you think, you know, we're always talking about movements and you know, the grunge being like the last great rock and roll movement that, you know, we kind of all agree on that, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I question its influence, but that's a different conversation.
Okay. But do you think right now that the indie movement is kind of taking rock and roll full circle again, whereas guys like Dylan and stuff kind of started that, you know, they were, he was, I think you can kind of consider him an indie musician. Do you think it's starting the ball rolling in that direction and maybe there's going to be a full circle that comes about? I mean, there's a lot of indie music out there.
I don't know if there is an indie movement.
Okay. Real music indie, scene.
As far as like Dylan, I mean, he was immediately signed at the age of 21 to Columbia Records. It was the biggest major label in the world.
You don't even need a label anymore.
Indie music, I mean, you know, arguably Paul McCartney's Ram was an indie album. I don't know, man. I mean, there's always indie music. It's always there, and it's always.
It's,
you know, we've been hearing about
indie's become
music
a meaningless phrase. It's been so
that's
right. Well,
yeah,
that's the thing.
The
it's more in the it's more in the forefront now though
you
than it ever
it
was. Because
I agree with what he said.
I agree with what Stick said. It's always been just there.
Yeah.
But it's kind of surfaced, I think, a little bit more. It's kind of bubbling over more.
The problem
you can't
I
really
have
call it
it
indie anymore if it's mainstream, but it's kind of...
But can you call it a movement, though?
The problem I have with it is that people use it and mistake it as a style of music, as a sound.
They do. And not right either. You're right, bro. Yeah. You're right about that.
That's my only issue with it. And of
you
course, my thing that I always say is, well, if it's a real movement, where is its impact?
Yeah, okay.
What is the long lasting impact going to be if there is one?
I don't think and is there a movement indeed going on? I don't know. Maybe you guys know something I don't.
No,
what
no,
real
no. And I don't think that there
having?
Is. I just think that indie is becoming less indie. If anything.
Yeah. You know, again, if there's indie music out there, I don't know what it is. I don't know.
What is it now is a good question. I don't know. What's an indie band right now? Does that phrase even
I mean,
mean
does it mean, what
anymore?
Does it mean? Does it mean a bunch of bands that play
well,
in a garage
they're on
in
a
Brooklyn
small
that
label.
Nobody's ever heard of?
Yeah. Like, what does it mean?
That seems to be what it is. It's bands that are not on major labels.
And on a Saturday night, a group of people go see them in a garage.
10 people know about, and as long as the same 10 people know about it, it's cool. The second it becomes popular, it becomes uncool.
I just wanted to get your guys' take on it. It was just you know, it was a thought. I was kind of, you know, like I said, I was traveling. Ah, thanks, man. I was traveling and I had some time to think. I was you know, listening to some music and stuff on the airplane, and I said, let me see what these
were
guys.
Were you turned
think
on to a lot of music down there, or just
really that one record?
Yeah,
you know, that Daniel Ratliff, Nathaniel. You got me saying Daniel now. Thanks a lot,
Nathaniel Hawthorne.
Nathaniel Ratliff. And my cousin Nikki and her husband Aaron, a loyal listener Aaron, by the way.
Thanks, Aaron.
One of our two Aarons.
Love you, man.
You know, they turned me onto it. I liked it a lot. Other than that, you know, I didn't check out the music scene, which I kind of regret. And you know, but I was with my 13-year-old daughter. How much music am I going to get to go see? I'm not going to bring her to a bar, you know. So next time, there'll be another time.
How far out of Austin were you?
I don't remember the distance, but it was far. If I'm not mistaken, don't quote me on it, I think we were about 4 hours from there.
Yeah, they're kind of on opposite ends.
Yeah,
of the,
they're about right, 4 hours
now
away.
Think about
it's big,
it.
Man.
Dallas. All right.
It's a big piece of real estate.
I mean, everywhere we had to go, was it like 20 miles everywhere that we went? I did get to see where Kennedy was assassinated, and that was a thrill for me. I've always been a big piece of history. They actually have X's in the road. From like right from the grassy knoll when you're looking down on the road there, and I mean I got pictures of like
in the,
that's
in the pavement actually
right in the right in the middle of the street. It's a three lane. It's a little 3-lane road. I got some pictures of standing on the grassy knoll. That you know the depository building, that sixth window, that 6-story window. It's just it's really eerie. It's really spooky. You know, you feel like you walk down here.
Feel a ghost,
and
right?
From
yeah,
what I
you
hear,
do.
It's a lot smaller than
it's tiny.
You think.
Tiny.
Yeah.
And you know, that it's funny you said that because I felt that way. I was like, this is really small. But you're looking at 1963 when this happened. If it were to happen today, that whole area would have just been flooded with people. And not that it wasn't then. I mean, there was a lot of people there. And there's a lot of conspiracy theorists there, too. I didn't stand to talk to any of them because we all went. So there was a whole big group trip. But you could talk to like 4 or 5 different people, and they have DVDs out there and stuff. It was really interesting. And I also didn't do the museum. I didn't. You know, there's kind of like a museum where they bring you up into the into the building and everything. And I said, nah, it's, you know, it was like $17. I don't think it's worth it to go see that.
Yeah.
But you know, it's just very. It's all like it was really. It's just it, you know. And then,
so you could go up into the book like yeah, the whole the thing. Like, you could, like stand at the window where Oswald supposedly.
I have
was.
Actually pictures of people up in the window.
Was it it's packed really, with people, man. Packed.
There was a lot of people. Yeah. There was a lot of activity. Yeah. Yeah. And people reading the placards and stuff like that. It was. It's a really interesting thing. And I mean, it's an event in history that's. You know, like I said, it's just really, I had a very weird
there are,
feeling.
And you said there are conspiracy theorists hanging around there. Like,
yeah. Who's the guy who has that film footage? Zapruder?
Yeah.
There's a guy who's got like that film and they have it broken down, like screenshots and stuff. And they're talking about like, you know, the magic bullet theory, obviously. And
right.
So, you know, Aaron and I had the discussion on the ride back to his house. And I pretty much asked him, I said, look, this guy was a Marine. Was it possible with that kind of rifle that he fired three shots, two kill shots, headshots into a moving target? I mean, it really fascinates me that, you know, I guess I am involved in the conspiracy theory side of it because that's a weapons are far more advanced.
Yeah, I believe there are definitely more than at least three shooters that day.
Three. I always thought two.
Maybe possibly a fourth and a fifth. Not to get into that that would be great. We should just do a JFK assassination episode.
You know what it led to? It led to Trump possibly being the president that releases like the lid off of shit like that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, aliens and like the true Kennedy assassination, because he is definitely the guy that has the balls to do something like that. Or the stupidity to do something right. Because, you know, I mean, the rumor goes that when you become president, you guys meet in that Oval Office and you kind of get like a folder of shit that you're really not supposed to talk about and shit that, you know. Who knows?
Trump could have loose lips.
Believe it or not, man, A.J. Weberman's book on the whole thing is a must read.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll have to read that.
But, you know, there's just evidence of people like Bernard Barker having been there behind the fence, and he was identified as just, you know, there's just like a lot of evidence that if it comes down to it, you know, fuck it, we're here, you know, it's a music podcast, but this is where we are right now. It's very likely that the people that did Watergate 10 years later were involved in that.
Interesting.
And there's a lot of evidence that supports that. Like Frank Sturgis was in Dallas that day. Huh. Bernard Barker was in Dallas that day. Stuff that's on the Watergate tapes.
Wow.
Nixon recordings, man. They're speaking in code language that kind of points to that day. It translates as the assassination. I don't know if that's necessarily in the book.
Well, I didn't want to go off on the whole Kennedy thing either.
No, but it's...
It was just cool being in Texas. But my tie-in for music in Texas is there's a Stephen King short story, where a couple are in a car and they get lost, and they end up in this town, and it's pretty much like a rock and roll heaven.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, Hendrix is going to play that night at the Pavilion, and it's a real... I cannot remember what book it is in. Tracy and I were talking about it, and I think it might be Skeleton Crew. Anybody out there who knows, just definitely shoot it out. I have the book. I just don't remember which one it's in.
What's that?
Surprised you don't know what book he's talking about.
No.
I just don't remember Nightmares and Dreamscapes. I don't remember which novel. It's a King short story.
I don't know King, man.
It's
I know
a short story.
First
so,
five books.
This, I have to say, you grew up on it at one point.
Well, yeah. I was like from
the
this
earlier stuff,
late
Thinner,
70s,
and
early 80s.
Dead later. Zone and stuff. Yeah, it's later.
Yeah.
It might be Nightmares and Dreamscapes. It's a short story for sure.
Yeah.
So we went out to dinner at this place, this town called Carrollton, and I stepped out of the car, and I swear to God, I think Stephen King envision this story from this center of town. It's the coolest place I've ever been. It's just a square with a gazebo in the center. There's an old movie theater. It is the weirdest guy. I had the weirdest sensation in my entire life. Stuff. Yeah, it was. And like I said, they get lost and end up in this town and they can't leave. And like Janis is there and Hendrix is there and Lennon. Like all the.
That is nuts.
And as they start putting it together, like who's who? And they're like, whoa, wait a second. It was a really cool, just a real quick little story in this book that was just great. But this town was the spitting image of that fucking novel, of that short story. It blew me away. So that's how I wanted to tie Texas into the show somehow. I didn't want to get all on a wild tangent about Kennedy getting assassinated, but it was just, if you ever get a chance to go down there, it's a spooky feeling that you get when you walk to where that spot is. And
oh man, you got to do it, you know? Yeah, it seems like a bucket list kind of thing you got to do, man. I've never been. I've been to Dallas, but I never did. I was in Dallas overnight once. Didn't really count. Yeah.
So,
got to do that shit.
I don't know. Well, on to our non-topic topics, I guess.
We have a lot of topics.
The listeners like
We're
you.
We're going to do all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jim. Yeah, we're not going to name full names.
No, first and last initial, I guess,
Protect
would be press, right?
The innocent.
Yeah.
We're going to, if we don't like it, we're going to attack the topic, not the person.
We're protecting you, buddy. We're
it's
looking
actually
out
public,
for you.
So that I think they'll be able to figure it out anyway.
Yeah. I don't think I'm going to like a lot of these.
He was our first response, and he said Rush.
Just Rush as a topic. Rush.
Rush.
You know what? It's not a bad topic.
Not at all.
It's not a bad topic.
Now, do we mix Russian with the whole Canadian musician thing?
Somebody else said Triumph, so we'll get to that.
Yeah. I think, believe me, I personally think we could do a show on Rush. I do.
Yeah.
But I think it would be much easier to do a show on Canadian, pretty much Canadian trios, but Canadian musicians in general and their stamp on rock and roll.
Yeah, that's a layup.
Well, I'm digging Rush now, like, more than I ever have. I've been listening to, you know, honestly, of all the stuff we've talked about in the past year since this show began, one thing I didn't talk about much, I mean, I don't think we've even mentioned Rush. Did we have you? I mean, I don't recall ever even mentioning Rush
That's
on
a good
the
point.
Show.
Rush
but
is not on
what?
My radar, I have to say, man.
My point is that probably, that said, my most listened to band of the past year has been Rush.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that because they're called
it
quits?
Drops. You listen to a lot of Rush.
Is that because they called it quits?
No. I think I just kind of naturally went there. Just out of, you know, I'm going through a thing.
You're going
for
through
the past,
a thing, bro.
5 years. No, for the past 5 years at least.
Yeah, Rushitis.
Where I'm going
in the nuts.
Through all of the bands that I never got into. That I just always, you know, I know 4 or 5 songs. Or bands like, you know, I'm just going, it's my cleanup period, where I'm just going by, okay, let's get UFO, let's get, you know, this band, let's get that band, I never got into this guy, let's get that, you know, and just like really exploring their
catalog.
You
went all the way back, like Farewell to Kings, and all that other really good, the first record, I mean, all that
That's
really
my favorite stuff. Yeah. That's my favorite
stuff.
Mine
too, mine too.
Caress of Steel, that album gets a bad rap, I love
it's great.
I love that album.
Caress of Steel by who?
Rush.
By Rush, the third Rush album.
I think right
really?
Up to...
Yeah, you know,
doesn't get a lot of love at all.
I don't
all.
Know that. Though.
Right up to 2112, I think, was really... I mean, they peaked there. I think that was... From there back, I love... Not that I don't like Rush after that, but right up to 2112, I'm in love
I mean,
with that band.
I mean, for me, Rush... Well, you know what? I do acknowledge him as this long-lasting band that has had an incredible career. Impeccable career. But for me, they kind of ended at Signals.
Really?
They kind of lost me at Signals. Just going back to, you know, when we were kids and the Rush that I grew up with.
We
which
have
was basically, you know, the MTV, you know, moving pictures, Permanent Waves. That block of albums from Permanent Waves through Signals 3. And, you know, later on was Grace Under Pressure. Once they started, you know, they got into that Big Money stuff and Power Windows.
Yeah, it was a little odd stuff. It was an odd era.
But I went back and cleaned up the albums that I didn't know prior to
Hemispheres,
et cetera. Yeah, Hemispheres is great. Oh. And then Farewell to Kings. But I really love Caress of Steel.
Hemispheres
and,
has...
You know, All the World of Stage, obviously.
What's that one on it?
Yeah, so you've really been exploring the Rush world, obviously. Yeah. You've been into it.
Well, I did mention Rush once on one show, I think, because I've talked about seeing the 2112 tour.
Okay.
The concert. I think it might have just been come up as a small little blurb. I thought I did, at least.
That's
they did that whole record
in
its entirety.
Question for our archivists, man. Have we ever mentioned Rush before?
And out of all the bands that I never got to see, that's one of them that I really wanted to see. That's probably where
that's
I
how it came
them.
Up. Yeah, yeah, I think so, because they were really good. They were really good live.
There you go, bro. Yeah.
That's my regret list is Rush's. Probably at the top of it.
I remember the Allman Brothers are on that list too.
Before I forget, man, I have a totally and you'll remember this, bro. Funny tie-in between Jay Giles and Rush. Remember, bro, the first two rock and roll shirts I ever owned, man. We went to US 1 flea market and my mom got me the Jay Giles Band freeze frame shirt and the Rush moving picture shirt. Remember those two shirts I had? My first two rock shirts. I thought you'd remember that.
Wore them until they fell
but
off.
But I got them
too, right?
I loved them. Actually, it's that's not accurate because I did have a Kiss shirt when I was really young.
Yeah.
But they're funny, man. They are funny.
And Neil Peart, of course, man.
Yeah, and that ties into there was a comment by one of our listeners, Vic, about best drummers of all time. I mean, Neil, you have to throw Neil into that conversation.
Yeah. My nephew is into Neil Peart. He loves watching. Like, I'll put the Tom Sawyer video on, and he'll sit there, and he'll, like, time it with
thousands
of
drums around, surrounded by thousands of drums. And John Bonham. I mean, greatest drummer.
The problem so with the greatest drummer category is we're all going to say the same couple of names.
Yeah, we are.
Let's face it.
We are.
You know, we don't even have to say who they are.
Yeah, I know.
It's going to get old real quick, it seems like.
That's you're right. I mean, we all, and even the Vic, we love you, Vic, and I know your list is going to be just as.
Oh, Mike just crossed it off. You see that? He crossed it off physically.
It's going to be exactly
as we.
It's going to be exactly as
his
ours.
Red pen, man. He gets his red pen going.
Yeah, he is. Nice
watch
with
this
red
guy.
Pen. He's writing on me before Mike was here. I was, what the hell are you doing, dude?
I want a 1,000-word essay on why Bob Dylan suffered for your sins.
An assignment.
Vic, your drummers are this probably the same ones as ours.
What else?
Jackie L.
Step right up, Jackie L.
A few. Women Who Rock and Van Halen versus Van Hagar.
Well, Women Who Rock, we already have planned an episode of Women Who Rock. So I don't want to really go too far into that one.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Yeah, I don't
want to
go too... Yeah.
Van Halen, Van Hagar, we can bat that one around
Van
a little
Halen,
bit.
Van Halen, Van Hagar, though, sounds like it's 20 years too late. You know, like...
I'm going to tell you
that
right
now.
We talk
about that in the year 2017.
Did I like Van Hagar? Sure, they were good. They had their first number one album. Sure, they were good. But Diamond David Lee Roth, man, forget about it. He was... When we picked our bands of supergroups, Dave was my singer.
You know what? I'm sure the Van Halen crowd is the same thing that the Kiss crowd has, where there's newer fans, possibly, that like the Hagar stuff better, and maybe they talk
I got
shit.
My fucking IROC Z. I love Van Hagar. Let's go down to the fucking shore. Take a fucking walk, you jackass. That guy. Exactly.
He's from Manasquan.
He's from Manasquan, right.
That dude.
Fuck him.
Staten Island.
I'd rather get in a beat-up old Buick and fucking listen to... fucking beautiful girls and just fucking, you know.
Well, that guy likes Hagar, whether you like it or not.
That
guy's
going
to tell you.
When my Buick's broken down on the fucking parkway and he passes by me in his IROC Z, I can give him the finger.
As an old school Halen fan, you will give him the finger.
I will.
As a Diamond Dave guy.
I will. And I'll do it with like one of those fucking ow kicks too.
Oh yeah, do David's voice.
Yeah, man, 5150 came out. It was a big album. You had Eat 'Em and Smile out at the same time. But let's face it, David Lee Roth, Eat 'Em and Smile was a much better Van Halen album than 5150 was.
Probably.
It sounded like a Van Halen album.
A lot of people would disagree with you, but
I agree with Mike. I think that's, you agree too. I think that's the record that should have been after 1984.
Yeah. It really is. And, no disrespect to Sammy. I love Sammy Hagar, but I ain't crazy about his music.
I love it, too. I just think the band took a completely different turn. You know, they went for the masses. They were done. They grew up.
You know, that's not fair. Let me rephrase that. There's a lot of good stuff that Sammy Hagar did, man. He rocks. He rocks.
Montrose and even solo stuff.
What I'm referring to is everything that they did after 5150. I like the album 5150. I think Eddie did some great stuff on that album guitar wise. I think they were definitely still they were still relevant. They were still producing vital music, but it just wasn't Van Halen, man.
And they're fucking
it's just
topics
OU812 and all
Caprizi
the rest of
this, pants
all
and
that
fucking
stuff,
Caprio shoes. That's
they just
what they
became,
fucking look like, and tank tops.
They just became like too pop for my taste.
There's some hits that I do. I mean, there's some stuff where Eddie was still being Eddie.
I like that. It's got what it takes, so tell me why can't this be love? Mm-hmm. That was a good jam.
Funny, that's the only song I don't like from that album. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, there's a different one. There's another one. to one that sounds, it sounds like it's from the Top Gun soundtrack, but it's really not.
Oh, Dreams.
It sounds like a...
All you picture is Tom Cruise. Fuck Tom Cruise. You want to punch him in the face,
too. It sounds like the soundtrack to like a self-help seminar or something that you just like paid to get in. Like,
ladies and gentlemen, Jim Charles.
The Holiday Inn.
He has like the fucking mic across his face. He's like, I'm here to sell you back your life.
But the soundtrack, not the soundtrack, the title track of 5150 is incredible.
Is that the...
No, that's the best of both worlds. Oh, Summer Nights was great. And that last one, Inside, the very last song on 5150, that's what's going on.
It's been a long time since I heard that record.
That's right. Sammy did rock that little head mic with the little microphone. Yeah.
With the ball on the end of it.
Like that little ball, no.
And his fucking puffy pants and his tank top and fucking Reebok fucking shoes. I love Sammy, but Sammy took a fucking turn that, you know, hey, people like Van Hagar, God bless you. You give me a fucking, you give me Diver Down over fucking anything and I'm good to go.
For me, it's about Van Halen 2.
Yeah, Van Halen 2. All of them, everything up to 84. Every fucking Van Halen album. Yeah. There wasn't a bad one.
You suggested this topic. See what you did, Jackie.
Jackie, you started.
Jackie, you rocked these
women
guys.
Women children first.
That was a good one, Jackie. Thank you.
Yeah, there you go, Jackie. You got your. We just gave it to you.
And Women in Rock is coming.
Your buddy Kevin S.
Okay, Kev, step up to the plate.
Suggested jam bands versus rehearsed bands.
Jam bands versus rehearsed bands.
You know, there's nothing, well, certain bands aside, there's certain bands that when we go to see a live show, you know, you want a certain amount of spontaneity. And then there are bands like Steely Dan and the Eagles where when you go to a show, you get...
Wonder Bread.
Exactly how yeah, it was recorded.
You get Wonder Bread. I agree.
And it works.
It does.
It doesn't, really, you know, works.
It doesn't work for everybody, but yeah, it works.
It doesn't feel that way, though. Like, Steely Dan opens it up. Steely Dan jams, man. Yeah. You know.
Musically, but not lyrically.
It doesn't feel too constricted.
No, right. Musically they do, but lyrically he doesn't go to any place.
But if you go to see them two nights in a row, you're going to get two totally different shows.
Agreed.
Whereas, like, a rehearsed band where I love to go see, you know, when we were kids, man, we'd go see Judas Priest. And yeah, it was a great show, but it's completely rehearsed
down to what he says between
Judas
the songs.
Priest the next night, really? You're gonna get the same exact show. Wow. The next night, man.
Wow.
And the night after, and the night after, and if you go to see Kiss, you're gonna get the same exact show. Night after, you're gonna get the same thing. Every once
Kiss,
in a while,
man,
they'll
a
throw some
production.
You know, unless you do like the, you know, like the Kiss cruise where they really go for the hardcore old school fans who want to hear you know a million
speaking
to
of
one.
Kiss, I was in this shop. I saw the Kiss Exposed video on VHS. He had it sitting right in the
saw
thing.
It?
Yeah, he had it sitting right there.
But if you go, through the Asylum tour, man, where you get the same show every night, where you just basically fill in the blank of the city you're in.
How you doing, dude?
That dissuades people from following the band too. Why be a Kiss follower if you're never going to get the same set? Why go with them from city to city?
Like people, that's why a lot of people love the Dead, man.
And Allman a million Brothers. Other bands, man, you know.
You can go see the Allman Brothers the all Allman night, Brothers. All every night in March in the Beacon, and you're going to get a different show every single night.
Yeah, it's just
They usually kept like the same first two songs, like the first two songs would be the same, and then from there on out, it was just, you know, all guns blazing.
The world of heavy metal was a lot more. I don't know what's the word, man.
And even like jam bands per se, man, like, you know, where changing your set list night to night doesn't necessarily mean jam band. You're talking bands that just kind of just the whole thing is just one long ebb and flow.
Yeah.
And the songs kind of like flow into each other. You really don't know what you're going to get.
They take risks. Yeah, they take some risks.
The bands themselves don't even know what they're doing next.
They'll take some risks and stuff like that. Sure.
You either love it or you don't. People have strong feelings about the jam stuff, you know.
I'm one of those people though. I don't want to go see a record for, you know. I don't want them. Yeah. I don't really want to see the band if they're performing the record. I don't.
Mm.
It's not, you know. I'd like to see them take their liberties. Sabbath, on the other hand, I when I saw Sabbath, I was okay with them doing just do what you need to do. They're not going to jam anyway. You know what I mean? It's fucking Black Sabbath. You pretty much know what you're getting.
I'd say outside of the Grateful Dead, man, there's no jam band that I really love. No, I'm not a fish guy, brother. I'm surrounded by fish heads, but I'm not a fish head.
Well, the extent of my jam band appreciation is the Grateful Dead. I love the Grateful Dead. I love what they did. That's enough for me.
For me too, brother. And even then, I listen to the vinyl records, the studio stuff. I do not listen to live recordings of the Dead.
Yeah. Let's see. Rob requested the Dead. And we do have a Grateful Dead show planned at some point, hopefully before the end of the year. Probably, hopefully in the fall. Maybe in the fall.
It's a good time to do a Dead show.
We need guests for that.
Yeah. That's a good time to have a Dead show, the fall.
The fall tour, man. I remember like the...
You'd always end up in the city.
Garden residency
good.
In September in the early 90s.
Getting good hallucinogens.
Garden shows.
Where are you going? I'm going to the city. For what? The Dead's in town. I didn't think you were a Deadhead. I'm not.
You have a ticket? No. Why are you going?
Are you kidding me? It's a parade of filth.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, yeah. And Rob's
a beautiful thing.
Rob's going to be a guest on that show, actually.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, we need guest Deadheads.
He'll be joining us from Florida.
Who deserve to speak on a subject more than we do, let's face it.
Agreed.
Subs.
Cede the floor to them, man.
Our friend Subs.
Subs.
Remember Subs?
Yeah. All right, Subs, I expect a lot from you.
Environmental activism.
In music?
Yeah.
Wow,
except
that's
for Earth
good.
Day, because the Earth Day was a
Earth
topic
Day.
Last week, so a couple days ago. Yeah, just, I don't know, get REM's early catalog.
Yeah.
Life Switch Pageant, Green,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You're the Everything, Cuyahoga.
Praise Richard Nixon.
Yeah. I don't know what else to
that's
say about
I
that.
Have nothing else to, I have nothing else to say about
that's
environment.
A good idea.
Environmental activism.
Be kind to your environment.
Yeah.
Rock on.
Thank you for that. That was good.
Think global, act local.
They're still, you know, they're still doing those, like the global citizen thing in the park, you know, Central Park and stuff like that. All these bands are always showing up. And hey, believe me, I was joking when I said that, but I'm all about the environment. I'm a tree hugger.
Me too.
And you know, I mean, global citizen is a really big, a big movement for, you know, I guess Pearl Jam is behind it a lot. Metallica, I think, was behind it. You know, there's. They got some heavy hitters over there that are trying to open people's eyes.
Good, man. Good. It's those guys that are doing something.
Yeah.
All kidding aside, though, you know, I said REM. You know, Life's Rich Pageant is one of the most, as far as being any type of art in response to the result of the Reagan years, Life's Rich Pageant is probably the best piece of musical art offered in the 1980s. So there's my plug,
man.
REM, Life's Rich Pageant.
Yep. Cuyahoga's about the river exploding on fire, the Cuyahoga River.
It's so
Ohio.
Polluted that the river caught fire.
Yeah, and it can, you know, REM continues to do that. 89 Green was Green was about.
I know all about that place, about that river, unfortunately.
Yeah.
A little too much.
Let's see. Mark said best live bands. Brian C. said worst live bands.
I like worst live bands, but
that's really opinionated. Yeah. I mean, because somebody I might say was the best live band I've ever seen.
Yeah, I'm
going to
stay away from
this
one. I'm going to stay away from this one. I've never really gone to a concert where I was just like, this is the worst band I've ever seen, or they're terrible.
I saw those shows on TV.
I like how negative it is.
I saw those shows on TV. Like I said, I saw that Download Festival where Kiss and Judas Priest were just fucking horrible. But it's old Kiss and old Judas Priest.
They were
horrible in their prime,
totally, man. Bro. Judas Priest were dangerous
now.
In their prime.
They're both dangerous in their prime.
Best live
band.
It's
sad to see.
Best live artist. I'm going to stay away from that. Because my pick for best live artist or band.
Yeah.
Period. I'm not even going to go there.
Yeah, that's a fucking that was like a that was like going to church, man.
I don't know, man. I don't know if I could go into this topic.
I was very disappointed by the Kinks, man. That's one of my favorite bands. I saw the Kinks live and was not impressed at all. Kinks did not rock.
I saw two ends of a tour, the Police reunion tour. Saw the front end of it and the back end of
and?
It. Front end, they were fucking great. On fire, man.
Yeah.
They came out the Garden. You felt the Garden floor shaking. That's how, and it was just fucking magic. It was great. When I saw them at the end of the tour, it was the second to last show. And they were doing like one more Walden Woods event, and then they were going to be done again.
Yeah.
Sting had grown his beard out. It was at PNC Arts Center. They were horrible.
Horrible.
They were awful. You could see they were looking at each other like, fuck you. I don't want to play with you anymore. I hate you again.
Really?
Yeah. You could just feel tension. And maybe they were just
and the music
tired
was really
it suffered.
Really?
It definitely suffered. And I feel bad because
I'm impressed by that.
I went with a few other people and you know, a friend of mine, Joe, I was like, I feel horrible, dude. I told you how great they were. You know, when I saw him in the beginning of the tour, and it was just it.
That's amazing.
Truly amazing. Maybe it was just the wear and tear of being on the road again and singing those songs and whatever it was.
Maybe they ran out of gas.
Yeah, maybe they just didn't. You could tell they just weren't firing on all cylinders.
Yeah.
All right. Just for my experience and money, I'm just going to throw out three, man. Stereo Lab. I always enjoyed their shows. I always thought that they put on. I always brought it.
Oh hell yeah!
Just high intensity show.
Love the Lab.
Great musicianship. As far as the communication with the crowd, you know, they're Letitia and Mary, they're French, so they didn't communicate too well.
They communicated
but
with
still,
their smiles.
Some of the best shows I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Cheap Trick, another great live band. And Patti Smith, not necessarily for, you know, just as far as just the spontaneity and the energy of a Patti Smith concert, particularly at the turn of the century, you know, the 90s going into the new millennium, some of the best shows I've seen in my life happened between 98 and 2002 from Patti Smith. That's all I'll say about that.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. We're knocking
them
down.
Knocking them down, man.
We're going to get some rapid fire. Hit us, man.
Jeff steps up and gives us album art.
Bend over
album
cover three times. Album art. I love that one.
I love that one too. I like
that.
Album covers.
Put that on the back
burner. Future. Yeah, I think that should be a future episode.
We should do a whole episode on it.
We could spend a lot of time talking about album art.
I would like to
Stick actually.
Jeff, you're getting a gold medal so far.
Yeah, he's got the sticker. Stick mentioned one of my favorite album covers of all time in a past episode, and it was Clapton and Winwood with the
Blind Faith.
Blind Faith.
Yeah.
That's hands down one of my top five favorite album covers of all time. It's just it's risque. It's odd. It's just really cool. And aside from the plethora of other ones out there, but I think that would be a really good topic.
It's a great topic.
I don't know how I missed that one.
It's a great topic.
Vivian, best cover songs.
I've always wanted to do that. I love that idea.
A show on all cover songs?
I've always loved that idea.
That's okay. Yeah. That's a good one.
About that one, man.
That's a good one. Thanks, Viv.
Yeah, we're going to use that. I guess we don't discuss that now?
Nah.
That's good enough to put on a back burner, too. Put my boy on a back burner. Give him another gold medal.
That's Viv.
You guys doing good out there?
Oh man!
Well, is that Viv? That's Vanessa's friend, Viv, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I know she listens. I know she listens, man. That's cool. I dig that.
Aaron says video killed the radio star.
This is Texas Aaron, not
Texas
Virginia,
Aaron.
Not Virginia Aaron.
Yeah, Texas Aaron.
Texas Aaron.
I think. Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Texas Aaron. Yeah. I got my trucker cap on. Compliments to Texas Aaron right now.
Well, I mean, MTV, I mean, it suddenly, at the beginning of the 80s, you suddenly needed to be on MTV. Artists that didn't even do videos eventually had to do videos. They kind of gave in.
Hall & Oates were...
And it's a good thing they
really
did.
Like, Daryl Hall, I saw an interview with him where he, like, was pissed off about, like, their record Big Bam Boom. And, you know, he's like, they got us fucking kicking through a bass drum and trying to... He was like, fuck MTV. It's like, holy shit.
What was he accusing MTV of?
Of trying to market Daryl Hall and John Oates as like these, you know, whatever they were. You know, he was not a fan of videos.
Yeah.
Not a fan of the video thing at all.
Well, thank God they did like Private Eyes, man. That video is a classic. I mean, I love that.
Maneater and shit like that. He was not fans of it. He was not a fan of it.
Who was this?
Daryl Hall.
Oh, that was the height of their popularity in the early MTV.
Absolutely.
Years. I mean, yeah, they had some big songs in the mid 70s, but they were kind of
I think it opened the doorway for a lot of one hit wonders again too, and all those singles driven groups. You know, they all started flourishing.
You had a
again.
six-year gap between like Rich Girl, Sarah Smile, those early Hall & Oates hits. Yeah.
Not only them, but I meant just bands in general. Not only Hall & Oates. I mean, they had some records
but
with
hits on
them.
But a lot of people did have like a second chance with MTV. Heart, namely Heart. Heart.
Absolutely. You know, they she's had another one.
Early wave of hits in the 70s, and then they kind of disappeared for her. Well, it's not that they disappeared. They just like weren't very successful.
She's another one who didn't like being crammed into this. She said the dresses that they were putting her in were fucking uncomfortable. She was worried about her weight again. And it was a fucking...
I hate for people that whole like period of Heart, though, man. I mean, it's good pop music, but it's just, you know, give me Barracuda.
It was like heavy metal Heart. Hair metal Heart.
You know what? But Miss...
It's a strong
Wind,
word.
Mr.
Still cool
Wind
stuff.
And you know,
Alone and
yeah.
You see them do that live, man. They rock it. You be saying okay. You be nodding your head.
I will see it live. I agree with you there because the woman can just sing her ass off.
Alone. Yeah.
We gotta go to the Liberty every week and hear Alone over there.
Unfortunately, you're right about that. But like I said, it's a lot of one hit wonders started popping up all over the place again. And I mean, don't get me wrong. There was still some good album rock out there, but I mean, even Kiss. Look at what it fucking did to Kiss.
And it's funny thing that you mentioned that because it was Ron Nevison who produced Heart and then went and did that to Kiss.
Gene Simmons. What the fuck?
as far as getting that pop, heavily synth. Yeah. Synthesizer, you know, I don't know.
And they reproduced it.
My words are not flowing tonight. I can't form a sentence tonight.
They would make
I'm sorry.
It listenable for the fucking light music by adding synthesizer.
They just ladled that synthy shit on so many songs, so thick. Thanks to Whitesnake, too. Here I go again. They released that one with the corny.
And half that album was fucking stuff that he wrote in the 70s and had out on fucking Lick It Up. Or not Lick It Up, Slide It In. There was fucking like three songs that were on that second on that album again. I was like, what?
It's funny because the radio it was still kind of relevant in the early 80s when MTV first kind of they kind of coexisted together for a while because you had Michael Jackson.
They did.
And you had Thriller and the impact that Thriller had on MTV and vice versa. But I mean, the numbers in terms of album sales and just the Billboard charts were not irrelevant yet.
No,
this small period of coexistence between the two.
I'm going to use an example of. I just recently re-listened to our epic 3-hour episode, and
was that the Christmas one?
Yeah, a song that Mike picked, which I absolutely love. And it was just a brilliant pick to throw in there. Was Stepping Out by Joe Jackson.
Right.
Yeah. As a prime example of video.
That felt nice.
Joe Jackson is not a video guy, but that video for Stepping Out was cool.
Yeah, and it was a big radio hit.
It was a huge radio hit. Enormous hit. I love that song.
That song got better with age.
Yeah, it definitely did. And just the piano in it and everything. And I'm like, wow. And then you listen to Joe Jackson's body of work, and it's not Stepping Out.
Yeah. And no. this is pre, the corporate takeover of radio. So, now it's just like, Billboard still exists. But what's it based on? I don't know. Is it YouTube hits? Yeah. It's not the same model.
Spotify, Apple Music, there's algorithms out there. And even when we had Michael on, he was talking about the algorithm, I think, with Spotify.
Yeah, so as far as terrestrial radio goes, video killed the radio star. But there was a nice period of coexistence between the two.
It's
still very much into, I guess, the late 80s, early 90s. Yeah, definitely into the 90s.
Into the 90s, because bands like Pearl Jam and stuff and Nirvana were still on the radio.
Yeah.
Well played, Mike. Scratching them down. He's taking out his
Melissa
red pen.
Melissa P said indie bands.
Melissa P, we've been through. We talked about indie before,
didn't
we?
We talked a little bit about indie bands. I had told her, and I'm going to have to go out of my way to get some interviews. I would like to see gauge the local music scene, if you will, and see what's happening out there. What are they listening to? What are they playing? What's
the job am yours.
You got to take it to the street, Pen. We'll give you a microphone. I'll
say that. Roving reporter Pat Ivanitsky here on South Street. I got with us Bullfrog Balls.
You're our special correspondent.
Now back to you, Mike.
Call it the word on the street.
We'll call it that, the word on the street.
Yo, it's Mahalchik.
The What's word up, on the street hey. Is Rockin' the Fire Studios. We have a guest.
We have a guest here. Come and say hi.
Hey, man, if we have a Grateful Dead show, man, will you be on it?
No.
We have a deadhead in the house, and Tom he has refused no, he to be on our dead show.
Because we want to seed the knowledge the people
let's
who
see
know.
Here. Joe S. said, Triumph. Speaking of, now this goes back to the whole Canadian thing and...
I would like to do a Canadian thing.
I like Triumph, man.
I do, too.
I like Triumph. I've been listening to Rock and Roll Machine. It's funny that he said that because I've been listening to Rock and Roll Machine all week. It's funny because I said, well, Rush is my most played band in the last year. Well, Triumph is my most played band of the last week.
He's in a Canadian kick.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. Man. I never thought of it that
Rock
way.
Rock on the fire, eh?
You know what I thought was...
Well, let me tell you about it.
About it.
Am I wrong to feel this way about Triumph that, like... As time went on, they kind of became forgotten, right?
Well,
like,
yeah, like,
definitely. Without doubt. Something in the water up there to make those guys' voices that high, too, right? Something in the water makes all those guys' voices
still active.
Not even nostalgically did they come back at any point. It's like they were never on radio. You know, that was it. Like, they disappeared.
Eddie Trunk just got Triumph back together about 2 weeks ago, and they reunited for one show, just to do his Eddie Trunk show.
Huh.
They're not playing anymore. They're not, you know, Levine and Gilmore are very happy in their retirement. Rick Emmett is still out there active. But as far as getting it together as Triumph, it's over. They've made it clear that they're done.
Guys, the money.
You know,
be greedy.
You know who else we didn't, going back to the beginning of the show about deaths, we didn't touch on what do you call it, dying from... Sabotage and the guy, he started producing all that Christmas stuff. The Trans-Siberian Orchestra,
yeah,
not them, yeah, TSO. He started he was in Sabotage and he died. He just recently died too, and he was a major force in that whole production and pushing that out.
Right.
I can't remember. I can't even remember his freaking name. That's pretty much how insignificant he was.
Yeah,
on the news.
No, but you're right though. They I mean they could be out there. They could be out there doing something, but they're just as far as they just don't want any part of it. They don't want to be rock stars.
They didn't play. He did it for an interview.
Yeah, they just for Eddie. Fun, just for the hell, just to reach out to their fans and say, hey, you know, thanks, we appreciate everything, but this is what we're doing now. We saw Triumph at the height of their popularity, and the arena was half empty.
Yeah. Oh shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In 1986, we saw him at the Meadowlands.
I was during our Yngwie phase. We were there to see Yngwie Malmsteen open up, in fact.
Ooh.
Weren't we?
Yeah.
And we were not Triumph fans, per se, back then. Nor were we when we left, I don't think.
No, I liked them. I wasn't a huge fan, but yeah. I didn't mind them. I had some of their albums. I know you had a few.
I had Just the Game.
You had Just the Game. And didn't you have Never Surrender?
I think I may have.
Yeah. Thunder 7 is a great album. I like them all, man. And there are things off of the sport. I don't know if they did something after the Sport of Kings, but
Magic Power. Was
Magic Power was great. Yeah. That was off of I think Allied Forces. What was it? I guess the last one that I knew of was the Sport of Kings, and there were some things on there that was a little bit questionable for me. It was a little bit too in the realm of pop music, I guess.
Right.
But I mean, Rick Emmett, underrated guitarist.
Yeah,
that's what I'll say about them.
Alan Holdsworth, going right back to death.
Alan Holdsworth,
that was
there
the
you
death.
Go.
I knew there was one. It was
How
rolling around in my
miss
thick
Alan
skull.
Holdsworth.
How's Holdsworth relevant? I'm sorry, I'm lost.
He's a guitar aficionado.
Alan Holdsworth also. We lost Alan Holdsworth.
Oh, Holdsworth died?
Yeah.
I don't think I realized that. When did Holdsworth die?
Last week.
Did he?
I first heard him in back in high school.
Ronnie
played.
Yeah. Ronnie was up. That's
anybody
like his hero.
That went into Ronnie's house, man.
It's his hero.
He'd go over to the turntable to the and
I think I heard it from Motley.
He's not a small fish, that dude. He's he's got some status. Damn,
I just I hated to jump off topic like that, but I had the other death rolling around in my head and I couldn't think of it. We covered pretty much everything though, didn't we?
Pretty much, man.
We hit everything off of our list. That was good, man. We had some really good feedback. There was some great conversation on that whole Facebook thread.
Yeah, and a couple of you guys are going on to the next round, man. Because we're
going
to keep these.
That's right, man.
Going on to the next round.
I like that. I like that idea.
You know, you got a case of turtle wax coming.
Stick.
You win.
Stick, tell them what they've won.
A set of steak knives.
Rice-a-roni.
These four steak knives, deluxe sharpened steel.
Yeah, and you get the bamboo steamer with it if you act now.
Turtle wax.
Oh, man.
A car.
Rock
a
Under
car.
Fire. Like us on Facebook. Subscribe
on
to
Facebook.
Our YouTube channel. You can get us on iTunes. Leave us your comments. If you're listening to the show on YouTube, please. I mean, we invite you. We invite your comments. Even if you want to tell us we suck. Please say something.
You suck!
But don't do that. Tell us how much you love us.
Yeah. That's episode 21, Rock Under Fire. We will be back next time with our one-year anniversary Woo! Episode.
Yeah.
Follow our shit.
Later.
Pouring on me, bad news keep pouring on me, bad news keep pouring on me, bad news keep pouring on me.